The scripture reading before the lesson this morning will be from Daniel chapter 5, verses 10 through 16. Daniel 5, 10 through 16. Let us read. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom who is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father, the king, brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men and astrologers have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom.
Appreciate Lane reading those passages of scripture for our hearing. And I want to I'll do my best to try to get us out of here before noon. I told Evelyn, I'm like, I don't know, we'll see. Evangelism that increases awareness while dissolving doubt. I know that is a long title, but I hope, pray, and trust that when we are done this morning, you'll see why I entitled it that. The reading of the scripture should have given us a sense. And the reason why is because when we consider life, we understand that time and chance happen to us all. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 11. But also, when we think about this life, we understand that God has it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. And we notice that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. In other words, life is challenging, and many people have questions about life. Life is challenging, and it can send us in many different directions. And sometimes the good receive bad, and the bad receives good. And that causes perplexity in the mind, even for some of us who are children of Almighty God. And it causes us to have a desire to want to know why and want to know more. But it also causes many to have doubts in their mind about the God of heaven, spirituality, and what is right. In Judges chapter 6, in verse number 13, the people of God had the same issues. As a matter of fact, it was at that particular time that Gideon would say, well, where are all the miracles and all of the things that took place in the past? Where is the God of heaven there? Why are all of these things befalling us? Why have all of these problems come our way? Friends, those are no new questions, because people have doubts about life, doubts about doing what is right. Should I even do what is right if evil is going to prevail over my life? Well, when we think about evangelism, especially going out, talking to people, being an influence in the life of others, our responsibility as the people of God is to increase the awareness of God, His will, His word. And as Jesus would say, "For the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And to do our best to dissolve doubt or to explain enigmas or riddles. And so we have to ask the question, why? Why do we have this responsibility as the people of God? We have the same responsibility as those in the first century had, and that is to go out and to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the city that is set upon a hill. And so we ask questions. Why? Why all these things take place in our lives and in the lives of others? Or when we come across people in this world and they ask these questions, why? Why? Thought I was living a good life? Why? As the people of God, this is why we must trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding. This is why we walk according to the word and the will of God. Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, is not in man that walks to direct his steps." As the people of God, we know that we have a responsibility to do that. And David would say on one occasion in Psalm 37 and verse 23 that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing here? Why does God want me to live for his son? To bring awareness to the world. To put ourselves in a position to answer the questions of why. To dissolve doubt. And what will that require? That will require us studying to show ourselves approved. That will require us understanding who our Lord is. That requires us to ask God for wisdom. But not only ask God for wisdom, but to walk in that wisdom that is from above. And it's going to require us to do this on a daily basis. So as we live amongst the people of the land, our friends, our families, and even our foes, we should be preparing ourselves to answer spiritual questions, general questions about life and about godliness, about using the principles that God has left in his word in order for us to answer the questions that people have about life and the atrocities of life and sometimes even the good that come forth from this life. Job would say in Job 14:1, "Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." We understand that. So I want us, as the people of God, as we are studying this morning, all of that is just introductory material. We're just talking a little bit. We'll get to the lesson here in a few seconds. But as the people of God, we, as we are going out evangelizing, looking for opportunities to serve. And Brother Randy said that in his prayer. Looking for opportunities to do good like our Lord did as he went about helping people, serving people with the word of God and from our experiences, helping them just like what we're going to find out Daniel did. And the more I thought about this, and as Brother Lane was reading the scripture, I was just smiling because I was reflecting on the things that I've been studying this week about Daniel. 600 years before the Christ, we have the children of God that were going into Babylonian captivity. And there were four men that stood out: Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They just stand out. And it is in this particular realm that we see that Daniel was a captive. If you will, turn to chapter 1 and verse 6. He was a captive, a young captive in Judah in Babylon. This man, this young man, and I would say that he was probably between the ages of about maybe 13 and maybe 17 years old. A very young man, very young. Yet, apparently, his parents must have taught him well because he was able to go into captivity and hold himself up on the principles of Almighty God, which demonstrates to us that we can teach our children, and at a young age, they can make up their mind, as in Daniel 1 and verse number 8, they can make up their mind to purpose in their hearts to do exactly what God would have them to do. And we see this. We see that Daniel was a very dedicated man in verse number 8, where the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief and the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He was dedicated. He was devoted. He purposed in his heart. The more we consider this, we look at verse number 19, and we see his companions. His companions, there was none found like him. In other words, they had great character, godly character. They were mature individuals. And we understand that this type of character, it naturally draws individuals to themselves. Which means that once that is drawn to us, we hurriedly and give God the glory. But in chapter 2, in verse number 15, we see that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And this dream needed to be interpreted. In other words, he needed the meaning of this dream because he didn't know what was going on. It startled him. It scared him. And so what he did, he called on his wise men. And we'll just say that in general. Astrologers, so forth and so on. And because no one could interpret the dream, Brother Ryan, he started killing them off. He started killing them off, and this caring man of God, Daniel, says, why is the decree so harsh? That's a caring man of God. In other words, you stop and think about this. Here is a captive from Jerusalem. He's in a foreign land, Babylon. Really, why should he even care if he's killing off the soothsayers and the wise men and the astrologers? Why should he even care? He cares because they're human. He cares because they're made in the image of God. And maybe he cares because he understands with him being a wise man, he could be next. But he cares. But in verse number 19, we see something very interesting. In verse number 19 of chapter 2, notice what he says. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. This is after he asked his brothers, if you will, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, y'all pray that God gives me the interpretation. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. In other words, I put in my Bible a long time ago, Daniel gave God the glory. Friends, when we stop and we think about this, this Daniel was an excellent man, a great attitude, a great spirit within him, an excellent spirit. Yet we find this great man who was in this particular captivity for some 70 years as a young man, and he's steady, he's consistent. There's a good brother in Christ, his name is Drew Hyde. He's a preacher there at Meridian, and I've been knowing him, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years, and he's the same. He's the same. He's the same. And I said, man, one thing I love about you, you're steady. You've been the same since the day I met you. Godly, good character, loves the Lord, strives to do that which is right. And I think Daniel was just like that. From the time that he was young to the time that he was old, he was steady. He was just doing what God says, just steady. You know what that teaches us, good people? It teaches us that our name don't really have to be great down here, but we need to be steady when it comes to Christianity. Just be steady. Just be steady. Just be steady. So in chapter 3, verses 8 through 18, he kept good, godly people around him. His friends, again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But then we find interpretations. Because in chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, again, he has this dream, and we see that he begins to kill them off, and God gave him the interpretation. And if you drop down to verse number 45, notice what he says. Chapter 2 and verse number 45. Very interesting comment. He said, "Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountains without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this." Here it is. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Now, Brother Dietrich, I bring this point out on purpose. Because King Nebuchadnezzar needed to know, what does this dream meant that I had? None of the wise men could tell me. Daniel, okay, I can do it. God gave me the interpretation. I give God the glory. The interpretation is sure. The dream is sure. And so, for a fact, he gave him the interpretation, and it was exactly the way that God said it was going to be. Now, I want to make a point before we go any further. Go back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and I want us to pick up with a man by the name of Joseph, another man that loved God, did what God said, didn't take any glory, said something very interesting in Genesis chapter 40 and verse number 8. Genesis chapter 40 and verse number 8. And they said to him, this is when the prisoners were having dreams and they needed the interpretation of those dreams. And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Sister Natasha, they still belong to God. Nothing has changed, brethren. When we interpret the Bible, we need to interpret it according to the Word of God. The Bible is his own best commentary. This is why John 10 and verse number 35, and I'm trying not to go on a rant here. John 10, 35, the Bible says, "And the scriptures cannot be broken." It is all right to be as precise as you can be. Why? Because God is precise. Now, I know we live in a land where it's your truth, my truth, but now not according to God. And when I think about what Daniel said in Daniel 2 and verse number 45, the dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. He was not ascribing to your truth, my truth, King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, no, sir. No, ma'am. The reason why we bring this up is because when we stop and we think about the scriptures, the word of God, we have a responsibility to handle it aright. And so when we're going out striving to talk to people about problems, about relationships, about marriage, about the Spirit of God, about the Church of Christ, about denominationalism, about questions that they may have, we need to strive to have a book, chapter, and verse instead of a lip, teeth, and gums. Y'all get that? Lip, teeth, and gums? Meaning my opinion. Well, this is what I think. Nobody asked you what you thought. What does the Bible say? Sometimes we can be too philosophical. No, just straight from the Word of God. Allow God to do the speaking. Yet, you can mix the two, but make sure that God's Word is the foundation, and we can extrapolate from that. We can come from that. But take notice of something in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel was a dissolver of doubts. That's the King James rendering. Literally, he loosened knots. People get themselves into knots all the time. And when I say people, we're people. We get ourselves into knots in life. Not N-O-T-S, but K-N-O-T-S. You know, remember when the serpent told Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die"? Yeah, those N-O-T's turn into K-N-O-T's because she got herself in a knot. And the only way out of it, God had to get it out of them. But in verse number 11, verse number 12, and verse number 16, we see something about this Daniel. And we're going to notice some keys to dissolving doubts in the life of people. Notice in verse number 11, "There was a man in your kingdom, in whom the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Holy God, and in the days of your father, notice, light, understanding, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief over the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. We stop and we consider this, and we think about light, understanding, and wisdom. If we're going to do our part in helping people to come out of the knots in life, dealing with the questions that they have, the things that they have gotten themselves involved in, we ourselves must be people of light, meaning wisdom, illumination, people of understanding, people who have insight, intelligent, people who have wisdom, people who are using God's word as a skill, and they are being wise in that skill. This is why I think about what some of the old people used to say: God gave you two ears and one mouth. Listen more, talk less. You're dealing with the world? If we're going to help them, you have to use wisdom from above. You have to get them to see that, okay, we're going to get the light to turn on in your mind, Psalm 119 and verse 130, which means that we got to come with some insight. Come with the word of God about a particular subject, whatever it may be. And someone may have a question. And I love how Daniel himself, he didn't know the answer. He didn't know the dream. I'm going to go to God. Sometimes people ask us questions, and we may not know the answer as it relates to spiritual context to it. Friends, let's just do our part. Go study it. Let's go ask questions. And it's okay to say, Sister Evelyn, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Well, how long will it take for you to get that answer? Until I get it. Until I get it. But sometimes what happens, and I've done it before, we pop off. We give an answer, and then we think about it, like, I probably shouldn't have gave that answer. It is okay to say, I don't know, or it's okay, even if you know the answer, to say, let me go and study that. And that'll give you a little bit of time and opportunity to go deeper in your thought process and deeper into your knowledge and bring it to them so you can help them come out of the knots in life. But if you look at verse 12, notice what Daniel had. Stay with me. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, the King James says dissolving doubts, and explaining enigmas were found in Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. He knew who to go to. They knew who to go to. This man here had an excellent spirit, meaning that he had a great attitude. He had knowledge, which means that he reasoned well, and they could bring the hard things to him, and he could dissolve their doubts. He can solve their riddles. He can help them unravel the difficulties in life and to loosen themselves from the problems. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. That's why we're here. That's one of the reasons why we're here. So you think about the Great Commission, friends, of Matthew 28. And you think about how Mark's account brings out a little bit more information in verses 9 through verse number 20. Now stay with me. Jesus told his disciples to go, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Okay, let's apply that. Here we are, we're going out, and we're talking to people about the gospel, but hold on. Before we talk to them about the gospel, why don't we get to know them a little bit? They may have some questions. They may have familial problems, family. May have some doubts in their mind about, is there really a God in heaven? Because if there's really a God, why all the war? If there's really a God, why all the sicknesses? Why did COVID almost take over 5 years ago and still have remnants of it today? They have those questions. I've been asked those questions. What do you do with those things? Well, you go to the Word of God. You try to do your best. And this is why we need to be students of the Word. And we're out here doing our best to help people be aware of God's will. to dissolve doubts in the minds of people, because usually people don't obey the gospel because they doubt God. They doubt truth. Some don't even believe that there is truth. For this reason, your truth, my truth. For this reason, that's your interpretation. For this reason, I really don't know if there is a God. They talk like that. And then here we come, and we're talking from this Bible, this book, the Word of God, and we start flipping pages, and immediately they start saying, I don't believe that book. Why even pull that book out? And now we have to start resorting to other things that God has left us, like the creation in Romans chapter 1. Now we have to start resolving to other things like Psalm 139. Don't have to quote the scripture, but we look at the human body. Something had to make this. There had to be some intelligence behind it. And so we're starting to break into the mind of the person and cause them to have a little bit more spiritual strength, to gain their trust, if you will. They see our character. They see what we bring to the table as relates to the word and the will of God. And then they start asking questions. So I'm going to say something right here, and God gets all of the glory. Wake up. Watch this. A few months ago, a brother, now, obeyed the gospel, Mike Garcia. Y'all remember Mike Garcia? He just moved to Wichita Falls Friday. Sent him a place to go worship in Wichita Falls. He's going to be living there. Mike Garcia did not believe in God at all. Ryan, at all. And he looked at all of the atrocities that's taken place. He studied Illuminati and all those other things that are out there. That man obeyed the gospel and was consistent in his Bible reading, his worship. Now he's a child of God. We give God glory. Hold on. That's what the Church of Christ is about. Doing our best to get people to bring down the strongholds, if you will. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter 10. I want us to start at verse 3. Our responsibility to do our part where we are. Some of the best evangelism pieces that God has given us that will help dispel doubt in the lives of other people, our family. We can invite people over to our houses. People can get to know us. Or when we're working side by side with people and they view our character, they see our integrity, they see God in us. And so some people say, well, you can't know God. You better know God. The way you know God is to know his word and apply it to your life. And people see God in you, the hope of glory. I know I can know God when I do what God says. And I never have to see his face down here because I can't. But I know he's up there because he has left his word and we perform it out in our lives. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting at verse number 3, ending at verse number 6. We usually leave at verse number 5, but verse 6 is important. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Those things that really just kind of wrap us around and causes us to be chained, if you will. And some people in this world, they use that terminology. Well, I just feel bound. I feel chained. And here come members of the Lord's church who are living out the word of God in their lives. They got the word of God in their hearts. And they're allowing it to guide and rule and dwell in their hearts richly, Colossians 3:16. And we're just easily, just methodically and patiently and lovingly helping them to come out of the strongholds of life. Drinking and drugs, premarital and postmarital sex. Oh, yes, I'm going right down the line. Things that I've seen and heard. Talked to a guy just the other day. Got the stronghold in his life. Yes. Me and my wife, we're separated. It's my fault, though. All right, how can I help you?
Because life is not over because of this. We can help you and possibly get you back on the right track. In 2 or 3 years, maybe get your family back together. Amen. That's what we're here for, brethren. We're here to help people. They can get through these things that they have gotten themselves into in life. Notice what he goes on to say. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's another point that Paul makes there. Here we have these ideas, these thought processes, things that we have gathered from social media, the things that we have read. Now I'm talking about those in the world, not necessarily us. Well, it has to be true. I read it online. It has to be true because old boy said it, and I follow him online. It has to be true. And here we are coming, and now we're casting doubt upon them with the word of God and where that's going to lead. And we say to them, are you sure you want to follow that to its logical end? Because this is where it's going to end you. This is where it's going to lend you. And so those casting down those imaginations, if you will, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, notice what Paul says to the church at Corinth here. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, God says, I'm ready to work in your life when you're ready to work in your life. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. God is not forcing himself into our lives. But this is why, when I think about Daniel and the opportunity that he took upon himself, why is the decree so harsh? Why is he killing all of these soothsayers and astrologers and the wise men? Why is he doing that? Here, let's stop it. I'll go to my God. I'll get an answer. I'll get the interpretation and I'll bring it back to him. And that's exactly what took place. And the killing stopped. And Daniel was exalted. Well, how are we exalted in the minds of people? Now, those same people that you work with, those same people that you influence, those same people that you allow, at least as close as possible, that they can benefit from Christianity and Christ in your life, now they exalt you in their life. When it's time for a question to be asked, here they come asking you. And then what do? You open up the Word of God with them. You sit at the table or you're having a text message conversation with them and you're allowing the Word of God to be the final authority. And the next thing you know, you'll find people just striving to do what is right. So yesterday, we go to Bangs, Evelyn and I, and talking to some of the members from San Saba, where Justin Bell, who was actually the preacher on yesterday, as Ryan mentioned, and had baptisms left and right. I just can't stay out of the Word of God. These are new converts talking. We're talking at the door there in the foyer. I just can't stay out of the Word. I love the God's Word. They'll get preaching, good preaching. Like, wow, what's going on over there? He loved those people. He's preaching the Word. He's living the right life in front of them. Hold on. Can you imagine you get 10 people doing that? 50? 150? And everybody just doing what they can to influence people. Brethren, I said all that to say this. I got 2 points. Ryan's smiling at me, so he must be giving me the okay. I got 2 points. Number one, we need to do our best to increase awareness of the authority of Jesus Christ. Increase awareness. There are so many people here in San Angelo, Texas, and in other places that really believe that they are the authority over their own life. They're not. Every last one of us are going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer. God gave Jesus all authority, which means that every last one of us have to listen to him. Got to listen to him. When we stop and we consider that, we understand that God is requiring something from all of us. Let's look at Micah 6, and let's look at verse number 8. Since Jesus Christ has all authority, we understand that God is requiring some things out of us. But what does God require?
God is requiring us to be a people who love him.
Notice, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Friends, we need to increase the awareness that God requires something out of all of us. Whether you're a member of the Lord's church or not, he requires something. And so I've heard this before, and people say, well, you know what? They're not members of the Lord's church. They're not Christians, so I don't really expect them to do anything that's good. Well, God does. My neighbor is not a child of God, not a Christian. But when I get home, I don't want him inside my house. Why? Because the moral thing to do is to stay out of my house. Lest you call that burglary. Amen? But sometimes what we say is, well, he's not a Christian. I don't expect anything out of him. I expect him to do what is wrong. I expect him to sin. Well, no. God expects all of us to treat one another right. And so we can have good neighbors, even though they may not be children of God, but God requires some things. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. We need to increase the awareness concerning what God requires. God requires for us to know salvation and the need for salvation and the necessity of repentance and the hope of eternal life. We need to increase awareness of that. Sometimes we can be so busy with our jobs that we forget our job. Our job as a child of God is to live the right life in front of people and every now and then open up your mouth and teach the gospel. And so when I think about the creation in and of itself demonstrates that there is a creator. And then here come those who are made in the image of God, and they see our character, they see how we're living, and then we have the opportunity to talk. It's the same way. So as we close, the next point, dissolving doubts. How? How do we dissolve doubts? If you wasn't here on Wednesday night, go online. Ryan, your lesson up already online? Is it already? Go and listen to that. 7, 8, 9 minutes. It'll be worth your time, I promise you. So I'm going to steal one excerpt from it because it ain't his anyway. But if we're going to dissolve doubt, we need to learn how to listen, to respond, not to react. Meaning that when we're talking to people and you're hearing what they have to say, turn to Proverbs 18 and look at verse number 13 and notice what Solomon here says. If we're going to help people dissolve doubts in their lives, we need to hear them out. And the first word that may come out their mouth may be 100% wrong, but hear them all the way out. But sometimes, okay, I already know where you're going, so let me go ahead and stop you right now. And they may go on this long diatribe, this long discourse, this long saying. It may take them 3 or 4 minutes to say it. I just sit there and I listen. And I listen. And then when they get through, this is what I say, Texas, are you done? Are you finished? Did you finish your thought? Well, yeah. Okay. Now I can answer them. Why? Because they have said everything that they needed to say to a certain degree. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. We need to hear people out. If we're going to help them dissolve doubts in their minds, in their hearts, in their lives, we need to hear it all the way out. And then we need to give them accurate biblical information. God's word is true, rightly interpreted. And just as Joseph and just as Daniel, they understood that interpretations belong to God. They understand that the interpretation is certain, and we know that this is true. This is what we want to do. And so, what do we do to dissolve doubt? We talk to people about their problems, and we take them from their problems straight to Jesus. Acts 8 and verse 35. What do you mean by that? Here you have Philip and not Stephen, but Philip. And and he hears the Ethiopian eunuch as he is reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? How can I? He started from that very scripture, brothers and sisters, and he took him to Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. And so we want to increase awareness, but we want to dissolve doubt. Hear people out. Because a lot of times when people are talking, they actually answer their own question. And sometimes when people are talking, they don't have a full understanding of what they're asking. And so you say, can you restate that? Can you ask that a different way? Are you sure that's what you're talking about? And they're like, you know what? Maybe I need to go back and think about that. Let me get back to you on that. Hey, no problem. But people have those doubts, and we want to help them. And we want to patiently instruct them. Notice 2 Timothy 2. And this will be our last point, because we want to put people in a position to work out their own salvation. But what will it require? Friends, it's going to require something out of us. It's going to require something out of us. Remember, God desires for all of us to ask for wisdom. And he doesn't make fun of us when we ask him for wisdom. Neither should we. Neither should we talk to people as if they're dumb and stupid and delusional. If people have questions, if people are trying to get out of these knots in life, let's be patient. And our faces need to demonstrate that too. Because sometimes people can ask questions and be like, this is ignorant. Like, no. Because if they're trying to get out of a situation or perhaps have information and wisdom to go into a situation, we want to make sure that we have the right attitude. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through verse 26. Good brother in Missouri reminded me of this passage. And I have to ponder it a little bit. But notice what he says. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses, watch this, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Well, that's going to require me having the right attitude toward people who've gotten themselves into the snare of the devil. And now here we come as we methodically dissolve the doubts of them not being able to come out of it, as we do our best to increase awareness of God's word. And so we're removing one, inserting the other, demonstrating the right character and lifestyle as they are working their way through. And the next thing you know, they leave atheism per se, and they're following Christ and they're doing the will of God. Or perhaps they've made some very bad decisions in their marriage, very bad decisions as a youth, very bad decisions as a parent, and now they're learning to regroup, and now they're doing better. That's why we're here. So we come here, we are educated in the Word of God, we encourage one another in the most holy faith, we fellowship with our God and Father through His Son, and next thing you know, we go out into the world, and we serve, and we look for opportunities to help people, so we focus on a person, or family, or even our folks, and we say, okay, I'm going to help these people. I'm just going to put myself in a position to help. The next thing you know, over a period of time, you see change. Now, they might not ever obey the gospel. That's the
the invitation, and then we'll go. Our God and our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we know we have the responsibility of increasing awareness of who we are. Son's Church, more or less, good care. Help us be God. Let us spend time in your word and we may know. Father, help us to see the importance of coming together as people. Receiving the spiritual encouragement and education that we may be the best that we can be when we go out. And help people dissolve doubts in their lives in every arena of life as possible. Let us see the possible help us to, Father, to do that. We're so thankful for men like Daniel, who's a great example, one who purposed in his heart, one who gave you glory, one who put himself around the right people. His good friend, Shadrach, Meshach. We ask the Father that we too can do the same. That we purpose in our lives. That we put ourselves around the right brethren. That we love you with all that we have. And do that which is required of us. Father, we ask for opportunities to serve our fellow man. Whether it is collectively as a congregation or individually as Christians, help us to do that. Help us to take those things seriously as we see people going through difficulties in life, having doubts in their hearts. Help us to do our part to help them in those things, that they may see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, forgive us when we're selfish. Strengthen us when we're wise. And help us to always be a people who love you and love one another. So thank you for those who are visiting with us. Pray, your Father, that you will continue to bless them, that they will see an opportunity to come and to learn more, to be around the sweet fellowship that we have here tonight. Again, Father, we love you in Christ's name. You're not a child of God, we want you to consider. We want you to consider some of the doubts that you may have about maybe your salvation. Are you saved? Have you been washed by the blood of Christ? Are you serving that one that served us? So the victor led us in that song, no, not one, or no friend like Jesus. That is so true. You'll never meet no one just like him. He's an awesome servant, Lord, that we can serve. He's a master that will always do right by us. He gave his life for us. We obey him. We obey what he has said. He told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said that. Many in the religious world have doubts about that. So they have come up with their own salvation, their own means of justification. Let us help you with some of those doubts and questions that you have about that. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and yes, it is still essential. But why? Because that's where I come in contact with the blood of Christ. And that's where my conscience is put into dead words. And that's where I go to serve the living God. Maybe you're a child of God and both you have doubts. And because of your doubts, you can't increase in awareness. Therefore, you don't increase the awareness of others. And so for that reason, you stay quiet. Matter of fact, maybe you're going in the reverse. Let's not do that. We beg you. We plead with you. As we stand, as we sing, we say this.